Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Do you ever have times where you doubt? Ever have times where maybe the enemy's just sort of hammering on you and you know, little suggestions will come here and there like, well, you know, come on now. I mean, could all of this stuff in the Bible really be true? I mean, after all, you've never seen any miracles. And, you know, are you sure that these guys were legit who wrote this down? And the enemy will come along and he will make these kinds of suggestions.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, in a message titled, The Unsearchable Wisdom of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
We are going to take just one last look at Romans chapter 11. And in doing so, we're going to wrap up this section of the epistle to the Romans. And that's going to pave the way for us to get into the final section of the epistle. The 12th chapter is the beginning of the final section of the epistle, and it's the beginning of the application part of the letter. The letter up until that point is primarily doctrinal. Paul is teaching us the great doctrines of the faith, and of course that's what we've been studying for quite some time now. And so we're excited about that. I think to take all that we've learned about the mercies of God and all of his grace toward us and all of those great things that we've been studying, and now to come to that place of the application, it's good and appropriate. So here again, just looking at this 11th chapter and remembering the context, Paul, having explained how God's ancient people Israel have been temporarily set aside and the Gentiles grafted into God's olive tree being a figure that Paul uses here in the 11th chapter to describe, you know, the work of God, the family of God. But then Paul went on to assure his readers that ultimately all Israel will be saved. And here in the 11th chapter, they're quoting in verse 26 from the prophets. He said, the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, as Paul is laying this out, as he's talking about this magnificent plan of salvation that God has been executing, it seems that the glory and the wonder of it just seems that it really grabs hold of him. And here in the 33rd verse, he just sort of bursts forth in praise, really. You know, he's talking about this amazing thing that God is doing, that he's been doing all throughout history, and that will culminate with the restoration of the ancient covenant people. And then in verse 33, this burst of praise, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And so Paul closes this section with this burst of praise. And it's like one of those moments where I think the magnitude of the whole thing, of who God is and who Christ is and what God has done and what God intends to do on into eternity, it seems like it was just a flash upon Paul's mind. It all hit him at once, and it causes him just to burst forth into this kind of praise. And when we do stop and think about the work of God. When we hear the stories, when we read the scriptures and we see the plan, and when we hear the testimonies of people, or, you know, word gets to us of, you know, what God's doing in a place. You ever have those times where it all just sort of suddenly flashes on you? And you see it for just an instant almost. You just see it all so clearly. And there you are, you're just sort of standing in awe of who the Lord is. That's what's happening here. And that's what's really intended to happen as we consider these things, as we consider this great salvation, as we consider who God is and what he's done and how he's orchestrating all of the events of history to bring about his perfect plan and purpose. And so what I want to do as we conclude this section here is I really want to just talk a little bit about the wonder of God's work in regard to different groups of people, even individual people, to talk about the wonder of God's work, and then to look at this final thing that Paul says here, because the final verse, the 36th verse, is so powerful. For of him and through him and to him are all things. You know, we, I think, easily get distracted from what's really going on. You know, we're trapped in our own little world and with our little problems and things like that. And then we're surrounded by, you know, this material world. And we can easily lose sight of who God is and what he's doing. And it's a good thing. It's an important thing. And I think it's a vital thing to our spiritual survival to take times and to just rehearse the works of God. As you go through the scriptures, many times that's exactly what the people were doing. Think of the Psalms. So many of the Psalms are basically just a rehearsal of all the great things God had done. And quite often, they're written in the midst of adversity. They're written in the midst of difficulty. They're written sometimes in a context where the psalmist can't really see forward. He can't see what's ahead. It doesn't look good, but what does he do? He looks back and he says, God, you did this, and God, you did that, and you worked in this way, and he encourages himself through that. And we need to do the same thing. And so let's talk for a moment about the wonder of Israel itself, because that's the context here, and that's what Paul is talking about, and that's what brings him to this place. He's thinking about the history of these people. He, of course, is one of these people. He's a Jew. And he happens to be one of those people who are part of the new covenant, where the vast majority of that nation never entered into the new covenant. And Paul is looking at their history. And you remember in the 9th chapter, he's talking about how God sovereignly chose them, how he unconditionally elected them to be his special people that he would work through in the world. But then in the 10th chapter, he talks about the present situation and how their unbelief has excluded them from those privileges. But then remember in the 11th chapter, this is where he talks about the restoration plan that God has. And so here's Paul as a Jew looking back over this long history all the way back to Abraham.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
And no doubt in his mind, thinking of all of those periods of history and all of the great men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, right on down the line through David and the kings. And that's all that history that's there. But then in the midst of that, all of the idolatry, all of the sin, all of the chastisement, the deportations to Assyria and to Babylon, the destruction of the temple, the restoration under Zerubbabel and Joshua, all of these things. And then Paul is there seeing once again the people of Israel rebelling against God, hardening their hearts, rejecting the Messiah, knowing in his own mind the judgment that's coming, knowing inevitably that the Romans will come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, knowing that the people are going to be dispersed throughout the world, but knowing also that in the future, God's going to bring them all back. God's going to restore them. God is going to be faithful to the fathers. He's going to be faithful to fulfill that prophetic word. And that's what causes Paul to burst forth in this praise. Do you ever have times where you doubt? Ever have times where maybe the enemy's just sort of hammering on you and you know, little suggestions will come here and there like, well, you know, come on now. I mean... Could all of this stuff in the Bible really be true? I mean, after all, you've never seen any miracles. And, you know, are you sure that these guys were legit who wrote this down? And the enemy will come along and he will make these kinds of suggestions at times. And he will come along sometimes in a more personal way and say, well, you know, look, God hasn't really done much for you. You've been praying, you've been asking him to help or whatever. And, you know, where's he at? How can you know that any of this stuff is really a reality? It might, maybe somebody just made all this stuff up. Anybody ever have those kinds of thoughts? I hope somebody else does because I do occasionally. But you know, there's these other little things that the Lord will just, suddenly the Lord will just remind you of something. And all of that stuff will just get washed out in a split second. You know, the other day, I had one of those moments. I wasn't going through like any kind of a long season of doubt or anything. It was just a momentary thing where just these little fiery darts were being shot in my direction. And I don't know, I was maybe had too much sugar or something over the holidays. You know, I couldn't think that straight. I was, you know, a little bit of a depression kind of coming upon me. And, you know, all of a sudden, Israel, the nation, flashed on my mind. And I just in an instant, I just thought, you know, if nothing else, the existence of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel proves that there is a God and that the Bible's true. I mean, there's no way to explain Israel apart from what the Bible says about them. There is no way, unique situation, nothing like it in history. And what's happening with them today is just exactly what the scriptures said would happen. That they would come back into the land after a long season of dispersion, that they would be in the land in unbelief, that they would be hated by the surrounding nations, that they would ultimately be attacked by their neighbors and the neighbors would try to destroy them. I think, man, that's the headlines. That's what we read about all the time, isn't it? And it's these kinds of things. Sometimes the Lord will just give you that and it will remind you and then you just go, yes, Lord, you are true. You are righteous. Everything you said is absolutely as you said it was. It will cause us to burst forth into praise. The wonder of Israel. But then there's the wonder of the church. The wonder of the church, how God has taken out from among the nations a people for himself. And we go back again and we follow history back into the earliest days and we see this little band of men and a few women who put their faith in Jesus. And you remember on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 that was gathered. That's a relatively small gathering, isn't it? And at that point, Jesus has already been here. He's lived. He's performed his miracles. He's died on the cross. They say he's risen from the dead and ascended back to heaven. There's 120 people gathered. Boy, it doesn't seem like he accomplished a whole lot, if you look at it from that point of view. But it's just a matter of time. And that number begins to grow and increase there. And even that day, 3,000 more were added. And then as the years pass by, there's a point in Acts where it talks about the myriads of those in Jerusalem who believed. Myriads is a Greek word for thousands upon thousands. And then we see the church spreading out over the planet and throughout history. And here we are today, some 2,000 years later, and the church is still going strong. And even though some people have predicted the demise of the church throughout history, some people have said, you know, it would just be a matter of time before the church would be no more. And yet, those who have predicted it, they have moved off the scene forever, but the church marches forward. And you think about the miracle of the church with all of the negative elements, all of the attempts by the devil to overthrow the church through oppressive government powers or through corruption from the inside. You know, you would think any other institution that underwent the kind of external and internal attack that the church has undergone, it could have never survived it. But the Lord continues to keep the church moving forward, and there's that wonder of the church and how God is still moving. And as we just looked at tonight, over 1 million people hearing the gospel just through this one particular avenue tonight, and those 100,000+ responding to that. And knowing that among those that have responded, these are people that are being saved. These are people that are being brought into the family of God. This is the church right before our eyes growing and expanding. And notice some of those nations that we looked at, those are nations where you can't be a Christian in some of those places, can you? Malaysia, you can't be a Christian there legally. And Pakistan, you can be a Christian, but you're taking your life into your hands in some of these different places. But the Lord is working. He's moving. And so there is that wonder of the church. And these are the things that cause us to just stop and say, Lord, your wisdom is unsearchable. The depth of the riches, the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are your judgments and your ways past finding out? Who has known the mind of the Lord? You know, we try to figure out God. And, you know, even those of us who know him can't do it. I mean, these other, you know, the new atheist or whoever they are, or, you know, they couldn't even begin to figure out God. We know God and we still can't figure it out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has instructed him? Who tells God what to do? We don't, do we? We ask him to do things. And we see that sometimes he does what we ask him and other times he doesn't. He doesn't apologize, say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't take your advice. Let me explain myself. No, he does what he's doing because he's God. He knows what he's doing. And so we've got the wonder of Israel. We've got the wonder of the church. But we've got the wonder of personal salvation. And every person in this room tonight, everybody listening tonight or watching or however this is going out, you know, if you're a Christian tonight, you know your own story. I love testimonies. Man, it's just so powerful when you hear a person's testimony. It does something. It strengthens our faith. And you know, we could go on and on and on with testimonies. I mean, you look at the scriptures, you've got examples of testimonies in the scripture. You look throughout the history of the church and you've got lots of great stories. But for every one person whose story was written down, there's 1,000 people at least that nobody ever heard of that also had a story. An amazing story of salvation. And every one of those stories would lead to this same kind of thing. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, Lord, you're so good. My wife is amazing at retelling a story. And so yesterday she did an interview on his channel, which she does every Tuesday. And then we went somewhere and she told me the whole story while we drove. And I was so blessed by the personal testimony of this woman that she interviewed yesterday. As she is telling me the story, I'm finding in my own heart, there's just praise for God welling up, just going, Lord, you're so good that you would do that and that you worked in these kinds of ways. And you know, what Paul is saying here, really, Paul hasn't figured everything out. What Paul is really saying is, you know, nobody can figure this out. This is something that God's doing that we don't understand fully or completely. And that's part of the glory of it, that God does things in ways that we would never think of doing them. The story that Cheryl was telling me yesterday, the amazing thing, it was about a particular woman who came to faith in Christ and how she was, you know, not raised in a Christian environment in the least. And she was, you know, had a couple of children, miserable and all of this. And one day some pastor from a local church knocks on her door and asks her if she wants to know Jesus personally. And she is busy, distracted with the children and all, doesn't even really hear what he says. Come in the house. You can talk to me in a minute. Let me take care of this stuff. So she goes around the house and sorts out everything. Then she comes back. She says, so what did you say? He says, oh, I asked if you wanted to know Jesus Christ personally. Yes, I would like to know Jesus Christ personally. So he leads her in a prayer. But, you know, nothing changes all that drastically in her life. But, you know, she says, okay, yeah, I received Jesus. I'm a Christian now, but there's not a whole lot of change. But then some things start happening. And God begins to work. And she's pregnant and she goes into the hospital and there's a situation where she's going to have a child and they've done some testing and they find that the child's got a disease and they're telling her there's no way this child's going to live. You know, that's just what it is. And she's there by herself and she's crying out, God, I gave my life to you. And I told you I would follow you. And what are you treating me like this for? And how come you're not helping me? And why aren't you doing anything in my life? And she said that at that moment, the presence of God filled that room. And she said, the Lord never said, I'm going to heal, I'm not going to heal. He never said a thing. Just his presence filled the room. And she had this amazing peace. And she came out after having had the baby. And the people were looking at her saying, you didn't have a baby. You couldn't have had a baby. You look perfect. You look so peaceful. And she said, well, I am, because I've got the peace of God. God just spoke to me. But it was just the presence of God. And her son had this rare disease, and there happened to be a doctor visiting from Japan that specialized in that disease and was able to take that baby and treat that baby, and the baby was fine, lived, still alive today. But then the story went on about her husband, an alcoholic and just miserable alcoholic, and accepted the Lord 2 or 3 times, still an alcoholic. Nothing's changing. Going to church occasionally, but it's all still the same. And she's frustrated and miserable and crying out to God. And he's kind of just like, well, I don't know what I believe. And then one morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, he's doing his work as a typesetter. And as he's typesetting, he keeps putting in BC and AD for whatever it was he was doing. BC and AD, BC and AD, BC and AD. All of a sudden it strikes him. Jesus Christ changed history.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
So Cheryl, some time ago, our Calvary Creative worship team, they did a compilation CD of some of the great classic hymns. And we want to offer that to our listeners for this month. And the CD is entitled Monuments. And one of the songs that you really like on there, Cheryl, is the song that was done by one of our worship team, Chaz Celaya. And the song is...
All Will Be Well.
All Will Be Well. Yeah.
I love it because it talks about, you know, even though you're going through trials, God's got good intentions and he's going to get you through it. And I'm telling you, I've been through some heavy trials this last 3 years. Yeah. And this song just resonates in my heart. The first time I heard it, I wanted to stand up and just shout.
And it's a hymn by the great hymn writer Fanny Crosby, but it's a modern rendition of it. Yeah.
It's like old meets new, and it just is gorgeous.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the Monument CD by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the CD Monuments, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Monument CD, produced by Calvary Creative. We appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.